This is your source for all the news that matters. Hard-hitting, unbiased, investigative journalism, ready to break...
Sorry, John, that's the wrong copy.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, it's not right. Is it under the...
Oh, yeah, it's this other sheet. That makes so much more sense. Okay.
Okay, let's go again.
You're listening to a podcast that has Ron Van Dam on it. It's the Ron Van Dam Podcast on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here we go again.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. I don't really care if you're listening or not, to be honest with you, so that's where we're going to start. However, I am a loving, caring individual. I couldn't do it. Oh, really, I am. I'm not kidding. Ugh. I was always criticized through most of my adult life that I never smiled enough. Apparently, I have a very dour kind of look. Yeah, I'm very tall, and I have a mustache and beard face covering. And, I guess I'm prolifically scary looking to many people, like, don't fuck with him kind of thing, which I don't mind. But apparently I don't smile enough, so people are actually, like, scared to approach me. Nothing could have worked out better as far as that's concerned. But I do feel something within me that says I should smile more, I should look more inviting, and look more, look just nicer, you know, what's wrong with looking, you know, pleasant? So I made a conscious effort. I would stand in front of the mirror and bring the corners of my mouth in an upward motion, which I think is called smiling, I'm not sure. But I went online and I got illustrations of what smiles look like. Most of them look really dopey and over-exaggerated. But I found some that were good enough. Mona Lisa, my idol, what a wonderful woman, face-wise. So I practiced in the mirror day and night, smiling and looking pleasurable. And after a while, I said to myself, man, I can look nice. I can look like I'm a pleasant, approachable person. Not that people should approach me, but I would look like I am. So I practiced every day with my, you know, so that the upward turn at the end of my mouth wouldn't be a struggle. It would become more natural. So, practice. And then I had it down, man. I had it down. When I was walking down the street, I looked happy. I looked freaking happy. And people would look at me and smile back. What a wonderful reciprocal lifestyle that was. And it worked for a couple of days. And then this virus came along, and then the CDC, DDCC, CCD, people, ACDC people said, no, now you got to wear a mask all the time when you go out in public. So now my smile is covered up, and I don't smile as much because there's no point. So now when I go shopping in the supermarket or something and I smile at somebody, they have no freaking idea that I'm smiling at all because they can't see my mouth. So all that for naught. It's ironic. And actually, in the word ironic, my name appears in it. My name is Ron. How you doing? Nice to see you. There's an I before it and an ick after. So I am Ron. Ick. Interesting how things just fall in place stupidly, huh? Do you ever think that when something is going south, when something's not going well, that there's a reason for that. I know some people who feel that everything that happens is for a reason. And I don't argue with them because it's just such a waste of time. But no, not everything that happens happens for a reason. Some things happen because it just sucks. It just isn't good. You didn't do anything wrong. It's not your fault. Oh, yeah, I spent most of my life not smiling, and then they got back at me with the mask thing. This is all my fault because I didn't smile. Then I started to smile. Then they put the mask on me. That means something. They're telling me something. No, they're not telling you anything. It just happened, and it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Some things just happen. Anyway, I'm Ron Van Dam. How are you today? Good. Fine. I really do care how you're feeling, because everybody, you know, I'm telling you. I live in Massachusetts, where there's been a drought for 780 days. There hasn't been a drop of rain since the Blitzkrieg. It's been horrible. When they took the wall down in Germany, it hasn't rained here since. No, that's not true. Of course, I'm exaggerating. It's a total lie. But you should be used to total lies, because look who the president is. Can anybody still take him seriously? Is there anybody on the face of the earth that can still take him seriously with any ounce of respect or believability at all? Is there anybody who doesn't think he's the largest douchebag ever created by the douchebag company? Yes, there are a few still left, and they're selling stuff under a tent like bumper stickers and hats. That's what it's down to. Want a bumper sticker? You have to buy the hat. It says good things on it, even though it's stupid. Yeah, there are some of you left. I don't know, man. I don't know how you must be hanging. It's like in the movies when, like, you're on a tall building and you're about to fall off the building, or you're on a mountain or a big cliff and you're hanging on by your fingernails, but eventually you have to let go because that's just what's going to happen, quite obviously. You can't pull yourself back up to safety. You're going down. Analogy well taken. But if you want to keep hanging on by your fingernails, you're going to ruin your last nail polish appointment. You really are. Nail polish appointments. Man, that was the only industry where they were wearing masks all the time anyway. I mean, they're supposed to. When you go to, I've never been to a nail salon. You don't know me. Don't tag me like that. I've never been to a nail salon. I never wanted to have my nails painted. I guess because I'm a guy. Somehow that makes a difference. I don't know. But it does. I never wanted to have my nails painted, ever. I don't want anything painted on me. I'm not a piece of canvas. I paint things on me. But they always, when I used to walk down the street in those days, remember them? And I would look in the windows of nail salons. I would see these people, these usually young ladies, sitting behind a little desk with a little shield. And they had a mask on because of the fumes that come off the nail polish. Of course, the customer didn't have any fumes going up their nose, just the people that were administrating the polish. Well, they were doing it all day. They're sitting there like for 10 hours a day with polish up their nose, you know, and fumes. So, yeah, okay. But, like, why did they close down? How is there an adjustment in what they did? I mean, they wore masks anyway. The only change would be you'd have to wear one too, which I think is possibly a great idea. I believe in equal pay, equal suffering. I do. If your doctor is going to wear a mask, you should wear a mask too. If your nail salon administrator person is wearing a mask while they put nail polish on you, you can wear a mask too. I mean, you're both like kind of matching each other. That's why when I go to the doctor and my female doctor says, all right, Ron, we're going to give you your physical. Please take all your clothes off. they should take their clothes off too. And if they say, well, we want you to wear this little hospital gown open in the back so we can see your crack. Remember that phrase. It rhymes. Open in the back so we can see your crack. Open in the back so we can see your crack. Just, you know, remember that phrase whenever you go to the doctor or to a hospital or something. But as long as I have to wear that little Johnny, little Johnny, could you come here, please? Do that little dance for me, Johnny. Little Johnny. I don't know why they call it a Johnny. It's weird. That name, Johnny. If you're named John, you've been incorrectly tagged with various tangible items that have nothing to do with your name. Put this little Johnny on, John. We name the toilet after that. But you know, I have to go to the John. Why are you doing that to these people? If you're a prostitute and your pimp is with you, that's your John. I mean, why do we take that name and assign so many different negative connotations to it? Don't even get me started on the name Dick. Oh, don't even get me started with that one. Some names are just unfortunately connected to objects. Who did this? Was there some girl who was going out with a guy named John, and she was responsible for naming things, and she said that freaking John, what a douchebag. I'm going to name stuff after him. It's going to be toilets and prostitute pimps and gowns that open in the back so you can see your crack. I'm going to name them all after that bastard John, or get back at him. It's a revenge name. And I am sorry that I know a lot of Johns, and they're wonderful people. I don't know how they got tagged with this crap. Really nasty, man. Really nasty. Anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh yeah, if I'm going to take my clothes off for a physical, then my female doctor should do the same. And of course that would cause many, many problems. But I say tit for tat. Oh, that was clever. That was clever. That was very clever. Sometimes I forget that I have tits too. Yeah, we always associate them with female. By the way, is this uncomfortable for you in any sense of what I'm talking about? Is this uncomfortable for you? Do you have children in the room? You know the rules. We've gone through this so many times before. I'm really tired of telling you. Vacate the children from the room before you listen to this show. It's not a lot to ask. Don't they have something to do? No? Oh, okay. But just tell them to take a bath or something. Just get them out of the room, because I don't want to be responsible for marring a child's life. Anyway, that part of the body we always associate with the female. But men have them too. They're just not attractive. I don't know what it is. I mean, older men, some of them get huge bosoms. I don't know if they're fat deposits or what the hell's going on there, but some older men start to get larger breasts, and we still don't find them attractive in any sense of the word. I mean, you never see a female looking at an older man's giant breasts and saying, "Whoa, those are some nice ones." You don't say that. You don't say that anyway, first of all. You don't say that to anybody, but you don't think it. Men's breasts are not erogenous at all. I've touched mine. Not a big deal. I'd rather have a piece of cake. I mean, it's not exciting. So I don't get that. I don't understand that part. Of course, men can't breastfeed, basically because they wouldn't do it anyway. I think that's the reason. That's why God, if we're going to go that direction, gave that to the women, because the men would just screw that whole process up. Can you imagine if men had children? There'd be no children. Because men aren't nurturing at all. Ugh, seriously? How's that possible? If a man was like holding a baby and then they got up from the couch while they were watching a football game to cheer, they dropped the baby every time. That would not work out. That did not happen. We're different. I've talked about this before, but it's absolutely true. Men don't care about shoes. They don't care about shoes. If they see a woman in a nice pair of shoes, they may say something, but probably not. Women are obsessed with shoes. They have hundreds of pairs. I'm wearing a blue dress. Where are my blue shoes? I want to set them off with the white shoes. Where are my white shoes with the blue dress? How about my off-white, my eggshell-colored shoes for the eggshell-colored dress? Women are just obsessed with shoes. They have hundreds of pairs. I don't know why. Imelda Marcos like really made an impression on them. Men, come on. Pair of sneakers, pair of shoes, we're done. Slippers, don't even bother. There's total sexual separation between men and women when it comes to the shoe department. Total. Did you ever see a man in a shoe store? No such thing. No such thing. No such thing. A woman in a shoe store? Vital. Vital. Vital to the store. It's just so different. How can we be so different? How's that possible? We're all humans, and yet we're so different in that regard. Simply by the shoes and the breasts. Defining moments. There's a commercial on television about how to stay safe with the virus thing. And there's some stupid things in it. Be safe, stay at home. And then there's this woman, and she says to the camera, she's an actress, obviously, they're not real people. There's this woman, she says to the camera, I get to wear my yoga pants every day. And she says it in a very happy, achieving manner, like this is a good thing. Why do Americans and people throughout the world, why do they prefer to be wearing yoga pants? I don't even know what yoga pants are. Are they sweatpants with a little yoga on them? I don't know what that is. But why would you think that you look good in yoga pants? I mean, seriously, do you think people are eyeing you going, look at that woman in those yoga pants, fantastic. No, you don't look good in yoga pants. Why would you say that that's a wonderful thing? Because it's comfortable for me. Oh, have we gotten to that? That's what it is now, right? I do it because I'm comfortable. Oh, please. Who made you the comfortable queen or the comfortable king? You're not supposed to be comfortable all the time. You're supposed to suffer. That's why they have gyms and fitness centers. Why do people go to those things? Those aren't comfortable. They're pieces of metal that you manipulate between your thighs. I mean, you sweat like a pig. You can't breathe. You're exhausted. You feel dizzy. That's not comfortable. Yeah, but my pants are. I might feel like I'm going to die, and I can't breathe, and I'm dizzy. But my pants are so comfortable, man. I love them. I want to wear my yoga pants all the time. All right, Mr. Lonely. Do you think yoga pants are attractive? Go to town, man, because I'm telling you, you're a little bit off on that. But we all have different needs and different desires, and we're all different. That's the problem, that we're all different. You know, I tell you, before this virus thing, I thought everybody was okay. You know, I know we had political divisions and all that, but, you know, I thought everybody was, you know, pretty much okay. And now, like with the virus thing, I'm finding out that some people are real idiots, man. They're walking around, and what ticks me off, I'm on the older side of the clock here. And the people who are on the younger side of the clock, they don't give a shit. They just, even if I got the virus, I wouldn't get that sick, or maybe not even sick at all. So I got a good immune system, so I'm good. I'm going to the bars, and I'm not distancing or anything. Yeah, but here's the moron part of this moron. you get the virus. Maybe you don't get really sick, but you pass it on to your parents. Did you ever think about that? Or you pass it on to your grandparents or to seniors that are just like walking by holding hands, enjoying this part of life, and you just like breathe on them, but you don't care. They're not you. I mean, what a selfish thing not to do. And they interview some of these kids on the news shows, you know. Hey, how come you're not wearing a mask? I'm perfectly healthy. If I get it, I don't think anything's going to happen to me because I'm perfectly healthy. So what do I care? Oh, you don't get it, do you? It's a planet with other human beings on it. It's a neighborhood with people you supposedly like. You're a member of a family. And you don't care? Let me think. What national figure represents that attitude? I don't care. I'm as long as I don't get it. Who was? Oh, that's right. The president. The poster child for I don't care and I don't get it and I don't think ahead and I'll say anything I want no matter what. And I'm never wrong. Oh, that's the... Okay, now I understand how that got permeated in our society. Maybe that's why things are suckier than ever. Well, they put Trump to the test with the virus. And boy, did he screw that up. Royal time. All right. I do have a guest today. And I'm sorry. If you didn't want me to talk about that, forget I said it. Okay? All right, just forget I said it. Do you have a cat? They have come up with something that is incredible for everybody, whether you own a cat or not, but especially if you own a cat. You're spending more time at home with your pet. What if you're allergic to your pet, but you didn't know it because you don't spend that much time with your pet because you're always working? Well, now you're not. They've come up with something to resolve that. They resolved that, but they can't do the freaking virus resolve. But they can do the cat allergy resolve. That pisses me off. Anyway, our guest is going to join us. Let's say hello to our guest.
Good morning, Ron.
Hey, Dr. Kurt. How you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How about yourself?
Not so bad. Not so bad. Dr. Kurt is a chief veterinary officer with Purina. Whoa, there's a big title. It's a big area. That's pretty cool.
It's honestly a dream job for me. I've been on board 17 years, and I truly love it.
Wow. Okay, let's get to it. This is interesting because we're kind of specifically talking about cats today and cat allergies, and there's a huge population with cats that we don't talk about as much as we do with dogs usually. But cat allergies, a lot of people are allergic to cats, and yet they have cats. Isn't that kind of weird?
Well, you know what? I think that speaks to the passion and love that cat owners have for our feline friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we love their independence. We love their, as I like to say, their mercurial nature and their strong personalities. And so, I think it really speaks to that. But you're right, Ron. We know that 1 in 5 adults globally are sensitized or sensitive to cat allergens. Mm-hmm. And so it can be quite a challenge for people.
It can. It's interesting because cats are independent by nature, so they are the perfect pet for many people that work, which, you know, hopefully should be everybody pretty soon. And so that's great. But now, for some reason, with people staying at home a lot more, this is becoming a concern where it wasn't before with the allergies. That's kind of strange, too.
Yeah, no, Ron, you're spot on. I mean, if you think about it, families have always had to figure out how to reduce cat allergens in the environment. Mm-hmm. And now that families are spending more time at home, this becomes even more important. So if you think about how families currently manage cat allergens, it's really about a lot of cleaning around the house, yeah. Regular cleaning routines, vacuuming floors, furniture, the washing of bedding, blankets, and other decor that the cat spends time on. Sometimes it's more frequently changing your filters, even putting up HEPA air purifiers. And so I think at this time, as we're spending even more time at home with our cats, it's even more important to do this on a regular basis. But many of these allergen-reducing strategies, as you can imagine, right, are time-consuming, they can be costly, and they have limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're really excited about is there's a new option that helps manage cat allergens at the source. And that is backed by a decade of Purina research. Proplan Live Clear is the first and only cat food that's been shown to reduce allergens in cat hair and dander.
Whoa.
So as a veterinarian, when I think about the science behind this project and the research behind it, I'm blown away. This is a revolutionary new tool to help cat owners manage allergens in the environment, and we believe is going to bring cat owners and the people who love them and all their friends and their family and the cats closer together.
How does that actually work? How through food do you reduce allergens in a species? That's kind of interesting.
Sure. So we first have to understand, you know, what is the allergen? And, and so many people think that cat hair is the problem,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually what's on it. So all cats produce a protein in their mouth, and the technical scientific term is called FLD1.
Mm-hmm.
And they naturally produce it in their saliva. And so when they groom, that protein gets deposited on their hair and their dander, and then it falls off into the environment, mm-hmm. and that's the allergen that people are sensitized to. The really cool thing about Live Clear is that when cats eat it, it simply and safely neutralizes the FLD1 in the cat's mouth. And so it's the key ingredient, because I'm often asked this, it's a specific protein sourced from eggs. And so when cats eat the food, the ingredient binds to FLD1, this major cat allergen, and safely neutralizes it in the cat's mouth.
Mm.
So what I love about this is it's a really feline-friendly approach, and we're actually going upstream. We're not waiting for the allergen to be in the environment. We're actually safely and simply neutralizing it even before it gets onto the hair and on the dander.
Interesting. Is this the, I don't know the proper phrase, is this for the dry food and the wet food as well, or where does it show up?
Currently, it is currently available across the country, and it currently is in dry food only.
Okay.
And that's due to the technology and the way it works on the dry food and interacting with the protein in the mouth of the cat.
Wow. I mean, that's a better deal, because when people do leave, they do leave dry food out. They don't leave the wet food out. So that kind of makes sense. It's better. I'm glad they went that direction. That makes sense, certainly, because cats feed themselves. They eat when they want to eat, and that's the dry food thing. That's amazing.
Correct.
That's amazing. I wonder if you can do that with people.
Probably not.
All right. I don't know if I'm allergic to other people, but sometimes you feel like I am. But that's psychological. Okay. This is quite a breakthrough. Cats love it, I assume. I mean, it's the same attraction to the dry food as before.
Oh, correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the beautiful thing is not only do we have this key ingredient, this specific protein source from eggs, but it's a wonderful overall formula when you look at protein to calorie ratio and all the other bells and whistles that we put in it to help cats thrive.
Wow. And this could actually help people with the allergies. And, you know, I don't know where allergies are coming from, but all of a sudden everybody's got them. I don't know how that happened. Cats, pollen, you name it. We're allergic to everything all of a sudden. So this is a nice step in the right direction. All right. Where do we get more information? Some people might have specific questions. Where would they go for that?
You bet. To learn more, people can visit ProplanLiveClear.com.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Hey, you just told us something we didn't know, so that makes it a nice time. Thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Kurt. Well, there you have it for today. You've been fantastic as usual. I don't know how you do it. Your demeanor is just to die for. Not really. Have yourselves a wonderful day. You can make it a good day. Sometimes you can't, because it just sucks no matter what you do. Have yourself a wonderful day. I wish you peace. All right, it's over now. Okay? Yeah, you sat through it. Congratulations. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Okay? By the way, you can let the kids back in your room. I forgot to say that last week, and some people actually kept their kids out of the room for like 6 days. No, common sense, seriously.